Welcome back in, everyone, to a fabulous new episode of Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are joined by two amazing artists to talk about a new hit show. I'm telling you, it's a new hit show. We're getting on the ground level of this. There's so much buzz around this great show. And the guests we have to tell us about this wonderful show are amazing. Joining us for the first time, we have the composer and lyricist, Jamie Floyd. And returning to speak with us, we have the wonderful book writer, Melissa Annis. They're here to talk to us about their new show, The King's Wife, which is premiering July 19th through the 21st at the Adirondack Theater Festival. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting atfestival.org. There is so much buzz and excitement about this show. The music is phenomenal. And so we are honored to have these two wonderful women to talk to us about this show. So with that, let's go ahead and welcome on our guests, Jamie, Melissa. Welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you. We're so happy to be here.
I am so excited to have the two of you here and to be talking about this show. Because even before I was reached out by one of the assistants to the associate producers, this show had started coming up on our radar, and I was like, oh, this looks interesting. Oh, go on, what is this? So this is such an honor. I feel like, you know, we creeped into something that we weren't like invited to, and we're like, oh, the world, you know, we snuck into the circus tent. This wonderful show, The King's Wife, I already know it's going to be a hit. So Jamie, I want to start with you. You're the composer and lyricist. Can you tell us a bit about this show?
Well, I can start, kind of kick it off. I would love to do it with you, Melissa. Super excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I will just say that I'm a transplant from the commercial music world, and I've been in pop and country music for a long time, and it's been an honor and such an interesting and special process to be a part of this show and to be a creator with Melissa on it. And I've always been an advocate for women in the arts and championing us. Yeah. And this show really does kind of focus in on women, right?
Yeah, it's funny because it's a show essentially about Catherine of Aragon, right? Mm-hmm. The first wife of Henry VIII, and her incredible achievements as a woman, as a warrior, as a politician, as a wonderful mediator of the lords at the time, and how, despite how wonderful she was at all of these things, that she was never good enough because she couldn't have the baby that the world wanted, mm-hmm. right? She couldn't have that male heir. So it's been really wonderful sort of diving into this piece of history through our lens as women in an industry that, of course, has historically been so male dominated, being in the commercial right. music world, and you know, I'm obviously in theater. It's really wonderful to sort of go back in time and find ourselves in this sort of Tudor court of sex and madness and intelligence and mystery. So it's about all of those things, really. And then, of course, what happens when you can't do the one thing that they want from you, which is be a mother to a boy, and how that becomes her downfall.
What an incredible story. I love that we're getting this different side of Catherine of Aragon. I think most people, and forgive me for throwing, you know, a little bit of light to it, most people recently know the story of Catherine of Aragon, of course, from the hit musical Six, Divorce, you know. But you two have decided to go, well, there's a lot more to that story. Yes, she's this fierce queen, but there's more to that as well. And I love that we're pulling back the layers, if you will, and really showing her strength and all that. So that's incredible.
Yeah, and we've really created a world that sort of dives into the complexity of and the messiness of what it is to be a queen at that time. And of course, her friendships, who can she trust, her outward appearances versus her performativity versus who she actually is something that we're looking at. And then of course, you know, we can't escape the fact that everybody knows of the story of Anne Boleyn, because that's of course a part of Catherine's story, but we're trying to actually look at it in a way that's a little bit more rational perhaps than sensational, which is, you know, who was this woman and what did it mean for this sort of Anne Boleyn to come to court and to turn her world upside down? And was Anne Boleyn even the instrument of that change? Or was it actually the way that society was structured and the fact that the king said, I want you, I choose you.
Right.
So it's sort of really looking at the things that we know and trying to see them from all different angles, as opposed to just the very propagandic angle that's been told for the past few hundred years.
Fascinating. Jamie, how did you come up with the idea to start writing the show?
Well, a few years ago now, I was approached by our producer and Melissa to kind of take a look at the story and take a look at the book that Melissa had been working on and developing. And I got to take a look at it, and I was just so inspired by Melissa's language and her storytelling and her ability to bring these characters to life in a way that, like you're saying, we're reading between the lines of history, right? We're not necessarily going word for word. We're seeing what else is there and what they have kind of skipped over in an effort to glorify themselves maybe and take the spotlight. And so it was very inspiring to get to kind of see the seed that was planted and to become a part of it. I will say, I feel a connection to these women now, because there's several of them kind of involved in this time period that we take a look at and that we kind of touch on. Some of these women were not in the spotlight, and they're kind of the most really interesting parts of our story. But as far as the music is concerned, it's interesting to think of giving them the voice that they maybe never had, not just Catherine or not just being Catherine's voice, but giving a voice to Mary.
Tudor is, you know, there are all of these ideas of who Mary was, but who was she as a child, right? So we really go into this lost little girl and her journey from sweet teenager to broken, you know. Jamie's written the most stunning song called Unfortunate Anatomy. And it's about how, you know, if only he could see a king in her, her life could have been so different.
Wow, what an amazing title for a song. That sounds incredible. So I want to ask the two of you, what has it been like developing this piece so far, especially with all these workshops and as you get ready for the premiere at the Adirondack Theater Festival? Melissa, why don't we start with you on that?
I'm not sure if your people on the listening can't see this, but I'm going to turn the camera around so that you can see it, and I'll explain what's going on. This is what our day has been like. We have a wall in front of us with lots of different colored sticky notes with songs and event beats and all sorts of things. You know, it's been hard because we started working on this musical before the pandemic. And of course, the world then shut down, but your brain doesn't shut down, you know, and your heart doesn't stop beating. So it's been, we had to, let's say, take a pause, but we had to take a breath. And then coming back into it, we are now different people than we were 3 years ago, let's say, or however many years ago that was when the world came to a close. So we've rediscovered new parts of ourselves in redeveloping the show. And it's changed so much since the pandemic because we've changed so much. So I'll give you an example. We were talking about Salinas, Mary Salinas, who was Catherine's best friend. She didn't exist in the show as she does before the pandemic, because that wasn't where our focus was. But now we really want to dive into what are these relationships between these women at this time as well, and how do women communicate in a way that they can preserve themselves and survive is something that we're looking at. So we have a lot of theatrical devices when it comes to communication. So going back to your original question about development, it's really been a case of Jamie is an incredible storyteller as a songwriter, of going into these characters and saying, well, what is the story of this moment? And we've been building these story moments in song, and now we're rebuilding the story from that. Does that make sense? Does that sound accurate to what we're doing?
Yeah, I think so. And I will say too, something lucky that happened to us or something that we were able to explore and start to just connect with is our director that we met and started a relationship with over 2020 was Pamela Woodard.
Yeah.
And she is incredible. And she was really a part of getting us to just use our brains differently and think about this differently. And then recently we've added Ethan Pop. And so that has really taken the development at all kinds of twists and turns and open doors and ideas and new ideas in a way that we haven't quite had in our development yet. So now we really feel like we have this team and we have all of our ingredients and we have all of our partners here that we need right now. And it's that's been really exciting. And that's really kind of made things have a momentum that we haven't had yet, which is a really beautiful thing to have happen before we do this performance in July.
And that's the thing, it's always a little bit scary, right? Whenever you bring somebody else into a team, it's always like, okay, now we're cracking it open again and putting it back together, cracking it open again. But what I feel, at least with Tamala and Ethan, what I've felt is that we've been very held in the process with them. And that's been really valuable because it allows us then to go down places where we may make crazy decisions and go, oh no, that's too far. But they allow us to do that. So that's really, really fun. Hence why the sticky notes are all over the wall again today.
I love it. Listen, there's no shame in organizing by sticky notes. You know, they're the best things in the world. Wars and battles have been fought and won via sticky notes. I'm sure of it.
Sticky notes and gummy bears.
That's right. That's right. The world is held together. What is it? By paperclips and duct tape? Just saying.
As is every show.
Fact. These are facts. I would love to inquire about what the message or the thought you're hoping audiences take away from this show. And Melissa, I'm going to start with you on this because you are the book writer of the show.
I hope that what people take away is a sense of hope, right? That change can happen, as incremental as it might feel at times, that these women before us, as flawed as they are, as successful as they are for however many years, they've all got us to a point now where we are today, and it's still not enough, right? So we know that by the end of the show that we, you know, we sort of herald, I don't want to tell you too much about the ending, but that we herald these two new queens, right? Which we all know in history, Mary Tudor and Elizabeth Tudor, sort of these two reigning monarchs, even though they're both told they're not allowed to do this thing, they both become, at least Elizabeth becomes one of the longest reigning queens of history and most powerful, you know? And so what I really hope that people walk away with is that we need to work harder, we need to work faster, but it's all possible.
I love
we can be kings.
Yeah. Jamie, how about you? What is the message or thought you hope audiences take away?
I think I'm hoping that they're inspired to take the what sometimes feels like the risk of being authentically who you really are, regardless of what this world tells you you're not allowed to be, or you're not allowed to feel, or you're not allowed to strive for. I feel like, especially after the break that we all took over the last few years, that there, I personally felt like maybe the walls were closing in on me for one reason or another. And this story has, and writing the music for it and giving a voice to these women who's also the walls of their world was closing in on, were closing in on them as well, is to, no matter how small you feel you are in this giant world, that your impact and the risks that you're able to take and the light that you can actually be, as small as you may think it is, shows up in the dark, no matter how dark it is.
I love that.
And so I'm, you know, that's what I hope people take away, that my light is something that will show up in the dark.
That is really lovely. I love that.
I told you she's really good at this storytelling writing business. That's why she does it for a living.
Well, funny. Now we've arrived at my final question for the first part. And of course, that is, who do you hope have access to the king's wife? And Jamie, I want to go and start with you first on that.
I really hope that this show speaks to every human heart that wants to walk through the door to it. This is, it's not just that, that is the thing I really think that we can both even agree on now, even though we're still in development and we're still discovering a lot about this show, and there's a lot to be found and discovered. But this is for every single human heart who comes through the door, who is maybe feeling like this world won't meet them where they are, or won't have them unless they're a certain way, or someone who feels like they're bound by rules that are they don't even maybe know where they come from, that I don't know. I feel like it's for everyone who feels like it's them against the world in a way, to be an encouragement and to be a different perspective that maybe you are the difference, you know, and you just don't know it yet. And even what feels like baby steps, maybe they walk through the door thinking, gosh, what I've done so far in my career, you know, toward my dreams or whatever, it just doesn't matter. It feels like it doesn't matter. And I hope they walk away from the show going, hey, you know what? Maybe I've made a bigger mark already than I realize. And maybe I've already done more and had an impact more than I realize. And maybe that spurs them on to do even more.
I mean, Catherine has that line, right? Or, you know, they try and erase Catherine from history. They try and chisel her name and her pomegranates and all of the things Aragon off of the walls of all the churches and palaces of England. And the truth is, no matter how hard they try to erase her, we're still telling the story today. And that means something, right? They didn't succeed in erasing this woman. In terms of access, and you know, it's such a hard one. I think we talked about this last time because I'm obsessed with how expensive Broadway ticket prices are, and it's disgusting. In terms of who's going to enjoy this show, I think it's going to be, of course, everybody who loves a corset.
Who doesn't love a corset?
All of my corset queens out there are going to love it. But also, I think it's not, even though it sounds as though it's geared towards the little girls, it's actually not. It's about identity as a whole. And we do deal with that, you know, this idea of the world doesn't know me like I do, right, is a big part of this story. And if you know yourself, you can actually be your true authentic self in the world. But if you don't, if you allow them to squash you, then you do disappear.
I want to add to that too, in terms of who may be a fan of the show. I will just, and you might be able to speak to this more than I can, but I feel like my style of writing is more from a background of singer songwriter and a bit more gritty, a bit more non-traditional. So, and it is definitely, I have a background in pop and country. It's not country at all. It's more pop leaning. It's more rootsy and gritty, and maybe something like you haven't quite heard before structurally, and an approach that's pretty non-traditional. And I always say I'm a nonfiction writer. So in terms of the emotion and just what to expect from the music, it may not be what you're expecting. And I'm hoping it's a super intense, anyone who is kind of a fan of that singer-songwriter, like in your face, like
hot on a platter.
Yeah. I really don't hold back. I'm just known for being pretty intense. I'm hoping that really comes across in this show, and that hopefully people who are fans of that kind of music and lyrical voice come away really excited and obviously singing the songs to themselves, but go, hey, that's not something I was expecting in a theater atmosphere for a show like this. Wow, I was surprised. So I'm hoping that.
Yeah, I mean, you're really playing with lots of obviously form or what have you, but as you say, you've got those sort of amazing ballads, which hopefully you can play some of maybe on your show, or at least, you know, we can send you some if you like. But we have these amazing ballads, but we also sort of are counteracting it with sort of this really sort of dense darkness that lives in the walls, right? So that sort of, at times, it sort of creeps up on you that the sound is changing and the world is changing. So that's very exciting too. And yet, with lots of heart.
Yeah.
Second part of our show, we love to let our listeners get to know our guests a little bit better and pick their brains, if you will. And Jamie, I want to start with you first on this question. As you mentioned, you are new to the musical theater world. At least, you know, I'll say working into it. It does not appear that you're new and knowing anything about it. So I'm curious to know, what or who inspires you? In particular, like what composers or playwrights or theater shows have inspired you, or some of your favorites?
Yes, so being new to this space, at first I was exposed to, I guess, what some would consider more the commercial moments, but what really won my heart, to be completely honest with you, are these songs from Wicked. They really spoke to me. I just, I just remember the magic of that when I first, you know, when it first came out, and I wasn't working in theater and I was working as a songwriter in Nashville, and they stuck with me the way a lot of songs just in general in music didn't stick with me, you know. And then when I, of course, Sarah Bareilles, I was a fan of her music before I, again, I worked in this space, and she's an inspiration to me in that watching her balance, you know, her career as an artist, because I'm an artist as well, watching her be able to be successful in this world and write just some of the most incredible, heartfelt, impactful songs, and be able to just do that across the board. That's something I really would I'm just inspired to do as well. Same thing with Brandi Clark, who's been a friend of mine and a collaborator over the years, and someone who's just kind of walked with me through this process a bit too, and been lovely to me and encouraging. Same with Wayne Kirkpatrick. He's been another Nashville. I've had all the Nashville composers and writers who have started to make a mark here really huddle around me and want to kind of help light the way for me, which has been really lovely. But I will say too, in recent years, we got to see the Band's Visit. Oh, mm. I was just enchanted by it. And like at the very end when the light, and they at the closing, hysterically crying. I will cry. I was hysterically crying at the end of that. I will admit that. And it was just, it hit me right in my heart. And that's just what I will say now without being long-winded, but those are just a handful of people and shows and moments that I've really loved.
I love that. Beautiful, beautiful suggestions. Wonderful. Melissa, what or who inspires you?
You know, I grew up in Wales. I think we talked about this a little bit last time, but, you know, most of my early sort of insight into theater was my family are all in theater. My mother's an actress, my aunt's an actress, dad's a director. So it's always been sort of in my life. But I'm also a Welsh language speaker. So as a first language, so most of my upbringing in theatre was knowing Welsh language plays. So Gwenllian Parry was a massive influence on me, Saunders Lewis, you know, so people that you may not know here, but were actually at the forefront of Welsh language theatre. So they were big, big influences in my life. And then at the age, I think I must have been about 8, my mother's best friend, Stephen Parry, was in Les Mis playing Marius in London. And I think Michael Ball had just finished and he took over. And we went to see it. And that's when I was like, oh, what is this world? And I think I must have seen it 5 times while he was in it for like 2 years or what have you. He was also in Metropolis and a few of other great sort of shows. But it was like, that was my first taste of, I know that man, but I don't know who he is. And he's like this new character and we're in France. And it was just a really sort of transportive experience for me. And I still, even today, when I'm like, okay, I have to get into musical theater ahead, the first thing I put on is still Les Mis, which many people would go, it's not really a musical, the musical theater instructor and all that sort of thing. But I'm like, it just takes me back to that moment of loving being a part of a revolution as a kid.
I love that. That is amazing. Yes. Well, we've now arrived at my favorite question to ask guests, and I'm very excited to hear yours. And of course, that is, what is your favorite theater memory? Or Melissa, in your case, what is another of your favorite theater memories?
I feel like for me, I had gone to see, I know this is going to be so off the wall, but I'm just going to say it. Years ago, because I've been working on our musical for the past 6 years, so I basically got into the space 6 years ago. It's crazy to say that. Gosh, in whenever Spamalot came out, this is so random, but I'm just going to say it. I was not, you know, working here in New York, but I was here playing a show. You know, I was here for my other music endeavors. And for whatever reason, we just decided to get tickets to that show. And it had the humor and the performances, and just that night was so magical to me. And that show had it just, again, it stuck with me. And I feel like little arrows were guiding me all along my life to this space, because I you know, I've seen a lot of live shows in my life. I've been lucky to see performers I love, but for whatever reason, the theatrical moments, especially that, because I hadn't been to a Broadway show, gosh, in years, I didn't get to see many. And I saw that one as an adult, you know, and I remember being like crying in all the wrong places, if that makes sense. That's kind of me in my life. That's my brand. I cry in all the wrong places. It's like everyone's happy and I'm hysterical. So I feel like I was just so moved even by the humor and everything that I just remember being so emotional. I'm like, gosh, why am I so attached to this? What I have an attachment here. I have a heart string attached to this. And I just will say, I have a lot of unforgettable memories, I feel like, but that was just, I looked back when I got asked to do this show, I was like, oh, maybe that's why I was so attached to that. Oh gosh, maybe that's why when I heard Wicked, there was something in my heart like, yes, go in that direction, go do that. And so that was just a moment that I feel like was an arrow for me.
I love that story. That is so wonderful. We love a good origin to get to Broadway of Sam on. I'm just saying. Thank you for sharing that.
Expected road, right?
Melissa, what about you?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking back, and I'm sure some of your listeners understand this, that when you work in theatre, you tend to get very sort of finickety about theatre, right? Because it's always a balance of analyzing what's working and what's not, and frustration because you're not on that stage doing the work that you want to be doing. Mm-hmm. And so you're constantly like trying to gauge what your true feelings are about what you're seeing, as opposed to all the judgment and all the baggage mm-hmm. and all the insecurities that we have on ourselves as artists, anyways, theater artists. Mm-hmm. But I remember the first shows that I saw after lockdown. And I've tried every time I go to see a show now, I try and remember that feeling and remember, be present and enjoy. Mm-hmm. Because my husband and I went to see American Utopia, the David Byrne musical. And we just opened up again. We all had our masks on and we were in the theater. And there was a moment when Burning Down the House came on and we all stood up and started dancing. And I looked at my husband and he had mm-hmm. tears running down, getting emotional, thinking about it. And I started crying and then I looked around and so many people in the audience were dancing and crying because we hadn't done that together. Mm-hmm. Not only had we not seen a show together and had that collective effervescence, but we also hadn't had that dance moment together. And it was just, oh, goosebumps just thinking about it, but it was such an incredible experience. And then a few days later, because of course no one was going to the theater really, so they were giving away tickets, I got to see Caroline or Change. So we went from this David Byrne musical to this extraordinary fantasia of absurdity and abstract feelings and Tony Kushner. And that was just so wonderful to sort of go from one show to the other and go, this is why I love doing what we do, because it transports us out of wherever we are right now into this place of just wonderful fantasy and feeling, and I get to have it with all these other people. So now I always look back at that and go, hold on to it, don't forget it, and appreciate what we have in this world of ours of theater.
That is beautiful. I love that as well. Another fabulous memory. Thank you both so much for sharing those. Those were wonderful. Do either of you have any other projects or productions coming down the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
Well, always, right? Where does one sort of, I feel like life is a constant hustle. I think that for me, at least, the best thing to do is to follow me on Instagram. And I'm always posting readings and whatnots over there. A lot of our time is focused on this right now, up until the Adirondack Festival. Obviously, I have still developing Inheritance, a long-term fault with Clutch Productions, and seeing how we continue working on that. And I'm always working on radio shows and whatnot. And Jamie and I are also working on another project, which mm-hmm. is very exciting, which Jamie can tell you a little bit about. So we're working on two projects together. But yeah, just follow me on Instagram, Melissa Annis with one L, one S, A-N-N-I-S, and I will bore you rigid with all the things going on. I also direct, so bear in mind there'll be some directing stuff in there too.
Something Jamie, for everyone. You,
something for everyone, always.
Oh gosh, well yeah, Melissa mentioned we're working on another show together called That Boy Ain't Right with our friend Jeremy Ryan. It's a true story based on his life. He's both part of the American dynasty of the Hatfield and McCoys. He's both a Hatfield and a McCoy.
Can you imagine?
who grew up as both, and he was just very different from both sides of the family, and it's his story, which is really exciting. And
it's almost like a coming of age story as he discovers his sexuality, and how does that live in the world that's been created around him. So it's very exciting.
Yeah, in the South, right?
In the South, yeah.
And the other thing that I'm working on, I'm working on something called, it's kind of a live concert style piece called Killin' It, a Howdy Horror Murder Mystery Musical. And I am creating that with your friend Mark Blankenship.
And check out your Instagram, right? Because you put a lot of stuff on that.
I would love it. Yeah, my brand is Big Hair Sad Song. So if anyone's interested in that, you can follow me on Instagram. And it's just my name, which is Jamie Floyd, like Pink Floyd.
Amazing. Well, you both have kind of preempted my kind of question, which is if our listeners would like more information about The King's Wife or either of you and your many projects, maybe they'd like to reach out to you. How can they do so? You both have mentioned your Instagram handles at Melissa Annis and at Jamie Floyd. Are there any other ways we can let our listeners know to follow or find?
Yes, there's The King's Wife. We have an Instagram, The King's Wife Musical. Mm-hmm. It's new. We're still hosting, you know, our development process on this. Or if you're interested in what we're doing, we've got a lot of time-lapse videos and us lying in bed, looking at walls going, what do we have here?
And if you're interested in hearing the music and being the first to hear the music, we do have music on Spotify. If you search The King's Wife Musical, we have one song out now and we're getting ready to release more. So if you follow our Instagram page, you'll be the first to kind of know when the new music is coming out. And yeah, you'll get to preview the show that way too. So.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, Jamie, Melissa, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. This has been an absolute joy. I'm so excited about this show. I'm so excited about all the things the two of you are doing as you continue to take over the world for the right reasons, for good. So I appreciate it. Thank you so much for stopping by and thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for listening. Yes, thank you.
Thank you. My guests today have been the incredible artist, the composer and lyricist, Jamie Floyd, and the book writer, Melissa Annis, whose new work, The King's Wife, is premiering at the Adirondack Theater Festival, July 19th through the 21st. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting atfestival.org. You can also follow our guests to stay up to date on all the amazing things that they are doing. And I mean amazing. There's a lot of great things in the work from both of our guests. So make sure you stay tuned for that. We'll have all that information as well as information about The King's Wife posted in our episode description as well as on our social media posts. But right now you need to run, don't walk, to atfestival.org. I guess let your fingers do all that for you. And get your tickets to see The King's Wife playing the Adirondack Theater Festival July 19th through the 21st. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies,
and keep talking about the theater
in a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.